Lenora's going to come up, and I don't want to take any of her time. Oh, maybe just a minute. Come here. No, I'm going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Father, first off, I just want to thank you for my little sister. I thank you, Father, for all the wonderful, wonderful things that she has shared already, that you have been doing in her life and through her life, in the life of these precious people of Uganda that have become so special to Lenora and have made it special for all of us when she shares, Lord God, especially today, to see the moving of your Spirit, to see the hand of Jesus, to see the love of God, and to see the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So we just ask, Lord, that during this time right now, as my sister opens her mouth and shares, that you'll be glorified from the first hello to the last amen, in Jesus' name.
Okay, so in Uganda, how we start the word is we say, Mukama Yebazibwe. That means praise the Lord. And then the answer, the reply is, Amina. Can anybody guess what that means? Yeah, so I'm going to say it, and then you're going to say, Amina. Are you ready? Okay. Mukama Yebazibwe.
Amina.
Oh, that's so good. Usually I got to get them to do it more than once, so you guys are doing great. Okay, so, gosh, there's so much for you to see, so much for you to learn. I can't possibly give it all to you in the time allotted, but the Holy Spirit will give you exactly what you need to hear and what you need to see. As soon as they open the PowerPoint, that would be totally awesome. So, a lot of people go on mission trips because they feel something, right? We feel with our heart. We feel that we need to go give to that homeless man. We feel that we need to read the Bible. But the truth is that our motive is not supposed to be based on feeling. Our motive is supposed to be we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, that we believe that Jesus is our Savior and that we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. If we go as God has called us, but we do it because we feel, then we're going to have some problems. We're going to have some struggles. And I learned that. I mean, he worked it out of me. And it still happens, but man, did I learn that the people here on earth, it's not about how we feel. It's not about us at all, actually. It's about that we love God, that we love Jesus, that we just love him so much that we have to do all it takes to serve him. And when we have that attitude, no matter if we're in Africa or if we're in America, then we're going to have a completely different life. And we're going to live that sanctified life. We're going to live that pure and that clean life, no matter what happens. Because now we're not basing things on what we feel. We're not basing things on what we think. But we're basing things on what the Word of God is telling us. And that Word of God, when we allow it, it will clean us and it'll purify us. And then what we see is exactly what we sang today. We see Jesus. We more and more we'll see Jesus instead of what we feel or what we think. And we're in the end times now. We don't have time to be playing around with this flesh. There's just no time left for that. So today, you're going to learn a little bit about how God is moving in Uganda. And it's not all that different than here as far as how he's moving. He wants his children to be in his family. It's the same here as it is there. It's the same motive. It's the same call. It's the same message. He wants as many people to be restored to him as possible. And that is the focus and that is the goal. So can you go to the next slide, please? So I wanted to start with the scripture because scripture is everything to me. I mean, I can't understand scripture if I don't have Jesus. I can't have Jesus if I don't love God. And I need the Holy Spirit to really dig into it. And I can't do that, have the Holy Spirit, unless I have Jesus and I have God. So that's first. But after that, like the next thing is scripture is not a book and it's not words, but it's life. And in your life, if you're not experiencing that, if you're reading the word and you're going, oh, this is boring, I don't understand why people like this, then you know what? Come and talk to the elders. Come and talk to the pastor and say, you know, pastor, I've got a problem because I love God, but I can't seem to get into this word. It doesn't do anything for me. And then, you know, let's go back and do a check. How'd you get saved? What was your reason for being baptized? How did you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Let's make sure your foundation is in order, because when those three things are all in order, then the word, it comes alive. So if there's anybody sitting here and you're struggling with liking the word, you're struggling with having to make yourself read it, go back, check that foundation. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to do that. As a matter of fact, I share this testimony in Uganda frequently, that there was a time when I had a friend come here, her name was Sydney, and she got saved here, and that's like a whole different testimony, but when she was getting baptized, the Holy Spirit was saying, you need to be baptized. I'm like, no, I don't. I got baptized in 87. I don't need to be baptized. And he's like, yeah, you do. I'm like, no, I'm just being in my flesh, right? And I'm really arguing with him. And then it's the end. There were only three people, and pastor said, does anyone else want to be baptized? Is there anybody else that needs to be water baptized? And from the very back, Bill, he's like, I got to do this. And he came up in his clothes, and he got in that water. And I said, well, Lord, if he can do it, I can do it. And I got in that water, and I got under that water, and I understood what baptism was. That when I came up, I was going to be sanctified. I was going to be clean. And something, a miracle happened. When that baptism happened, I came out of that water and I was quiet for like 10 minutes. And people who know me know that is like seriously a miracle. And they let me stand in that water and just have my moment. And then after that, man, the word came alive. So if any of you are struggling with the word, you're sleeping during sermons or you're really having a hard time reading it, go back and check that foundation. Make sure you're saved for the right reasons, that you got baptized for the right reasons, that you fill with the Holy Spirit following his leading, because it will change your life. So that's that. Let's read this scripture. 1 Peter 3:15. I know it's on the screen, but there's just something about being in your own Bible. I just, you know, I carry this Bible everywhere. It's very heavy. I don't know if you can see how big it is, but it's a heavy Bible. And I love it. And it's all marked up. Okay. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you and the meekness and the fear. And I'm going to move on to the slides in just a second, but I just want to address this, that people, it's not that you tell them about the hope, it's that they see it in you. See, the Holy Spirit, he gives them the desire to want that hope, but you see, they have to see it first. So it's not necessarily in what you say, but it's how you live. And how are you living? Are you living according to Scripture? Because then when the Holy Spirit gives the desire to that person that they're looking for God, they're going to start looking for people who they can see the hope in. So make sure that you are living this sanctified life. And we're going to get into that a little bit more so you can understand what that means. But this is so terribly important. It is so terribly important that we're living it. And to some of you, you might be surprised what that means. But to me, I find it very exciting. So let's go on to the next. Okay. How did this Africa thing start? Well, I went on a mission trip to Belize. And I got great training. Pastor taught us so well about how a mission trip should go, the spiritual things you have to look for, how you have to be on guard. I mean, really great training that is carrying me through in Uganda. Now, the second time, we were walking in downtown Belize very fast because the spiritual forces of Satan had really just taken hold. And as we're walking, I see a UN Jeep. I look at the Jeep, and the Holy Spirit says, this is Vacation Bible School compared to where I'm sending you. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that means, but whatever. And then later on, I had a vision. I was sick. I was home from work, and I had a vision that I was in Sudan. And I was I was sitting at a fire, and there were like half-naked people, which, by the way, that's typically not Africa, in case you were wondering. They're all dressed. And they were going to kill me. And I said the name of Jesus three times, and the chief got saved, and the whole tribe got saved. And then I was translated to another tribe, and the same thing happened. And I woke up, and I'm like, God, are you really going to send me to Sudan? I mean, I'm a woman. I'm a Christian. They're going to kill me before I get off the plane. And that's literally what I said. And the Holy Spirit's like, what, you're not going to go? I'm like, no, I'm not saying I won't go, but, you know, just, you know, the facts, you know. And he said, just pray. So I started to pray, did some research, found Paris Reedhead, excellent teaching on humanism from him. And I just prayed. And then a year later, you know what happened? South Sudan was born. And I was like, wow, I was praying for a nation and didn't even know it. Like, I was so excited because they want to be Christian. They don't want to be Muslim. Sudan is Muslim. South Sudan is trying very hard to be a believing nation. And so eventually I find myself standing in South Sudan. Like, it was so, like, you have no idea what I had to go through to get there. It's a whole different testimony. It'll take a long time. But the spirit, I know that Satan is real. I know demons are real. And man, when you're in the capital city of Juba, you can feel them. Like, you can feel them because nobody's, you know, rebuking them. But I got there, and this man from the government stood up and he said, 2 years ago, I prayed that God would be the head of our nation of Sudan, and now we have South Sudan. Well, it was 2 years ago that I had gotten that vision from God, and I started praying. So I know, I believe in my heart, the whole reason God sent me to South Sudan was to tell that man, hey, I heard you. I heard you. And that was, and if you knew all the trouble we had to go through to get there, you would just laugh at how much God loves one person, because he does. So I thought maybe that I was going to be in South Sudan because I have flesh, but apparently God wanted me to be in Uganda. So that's where I am. So we're going to go to the next slide. Okay, so I just put that up there because it's a pretty picture and it's of Sudan. And I wanted you to see that South Sudan is not all desert. It's actually very beautiful. Next slide, please. This is where I live. I love this particular picture. I see that road every day. That termite mound on the right behind it is where the church is. So every day, that's what I see. And if you go up the road to the left, you go to the village of Bagoye, Mugongo. If you go up to the road to the right, you can't see. Then you go to Boyagere. So it's kind of cool, but mostly we walk. Lots of walking, and no real cars, except God blessed me with a car. But that's the village I see every day. Like, every day, those buildings you see on the left, that's Retega. So don't blink, because you're going to miss it. It's just a couple of little stores that sell, like, some fresh vegetables and some cooked food. Like, we call them mandas. It's kind of like a donut. That's it. That's the whole town center there of the village. That's the whole thing. So the next slide, please. So those are the tea fields. I see them every day. I love them. Go on to the next one. Again, I just wanted you to see the beauty of where I get to live. Next one, please. I have to walk through those tea fields in order to get to the car because I keep it at a different village at the police station. So I walk about 2 miles to go pick up the car and then to take it. It doesn't stay at the house with me because the first one was stolen, so... That's Rwenzori. That's the second highest peak in all of Africa. And the first time that I went to the first ministry I did when I moved there was to climb up that mountain, and it was freezing cold, and to minister in what they called a village, but really it was like a house on the side of the mountain precariously. And people just kind of showed up from everywhere. I'm like, where are all these people coming from? Because I just don't even see any houses. And it was cold and it was rainy, but it was amazing. Like, really, it was like incredible. It was like really some the things that you picture of in mission trips. That's exactly what it was. Next, please. That's my walk to the car. I got to go up that little hill. It's good exercise. Next, please. So some of the huts, that's what they look like. Most of them are made from mud, and when you have a little money, you can make it out of brick. So mostly, though, it's either mud or it's sticks. Because that's just, they use what they have available. They're very resourceful people. Nothing goes to waste. They reuse everything. Nothing is considered broken until, even then the kids will play with it. So everything gets fixed. Everything gets reused. Please continue. That's Kampala. Kampala is the main city. It's very busy. There's a ton of traffic. Lake Victoria is there. Well, it's like all, Lake Victoria is huge, so you could go visit Lake Victoria every day for a year and still not see all of it because it's really big. So in Kampala, we have Kentucky Fried Chicken, actually, but it's good. Like here, I know it's like really bad. There, it's really yummy. And everybody, that's their big treat. That's the miracle they pray for is that they can go to KFC. Because it's a big deal, right? And Pizza Hut, I'm like, no, you all don't want Pizza Hut. And so, yeah, I always tell them, no, don't do that. So there are some modern conveniences in the town. There are toilets and there's running water and there's more stable electricity, though it does go out frequently. And it's very busy. It's very compact. It's like any other city that you would expect. It's kind of dirty. Well, yeah, it's dirty because the way it works there is you eat something, you're walking down the street, you just drop it on the ground. Like, I really struggle with that, but that's the culture. You're driving down the road somewhere, you finish eating, you throw it out the window. Like, seriously, I just really struggle with that, but it's just the culture, you know. You have to go to the bathroom. Hey, it's cool. Let's just stop right here. You just be right there. I'm like, okay. That's fine. It's fine when we're going to the village, but it's not so fine. I'm not doing that in town. I will find a bathroom. I am not doing that in town. So you can't really see it here, but the forms of transportation are a taxi, but it's not what you think. It's a big van, fits like 14 people, and you're squished in like a sardine. And they won't move till they're full. So sometimes you can sit there for 2 hours and wait for them to fill up before they'll move. And the other form is a boda, which is a motorcycle. So you get on the back of the motorcycle and they take you, but they're more expensive than a taxi. So most people will do a taxi or walk. And then you can get Uber. They have Uber there, but it's at night, it's like really not safe. Like, it's just not a safe thing to do at night. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, so this is an example of some food. So on the plate is a banana, watermelon, pineapple. That's chicken. And then on the yellow on the side is jackfruit. Yeah, it's real healthy food. There's no chemicals in it, and it's great. Like, it's like really, like, you don't have to pay a whole bunch of money for clean living because that's the way you live when you're in the village. In the city, you can buy all sorts of chemical food, but in the village, it's whatever you get from the garden, which I think is really great. Next, please. That's my hen house. So the sticks are the yard, and then the mud part is the house. We built it out of mud and sticks, and that's where all the hens live. And I have like 30 hens right now, and they're easy. Like, you don't really have to do much with them. They have to stay in the yard because otherwise the hawks come and eat them. And, you know, so I prefer my hens not to be eaten by hawks. It just doesn't make me very happy. Next, please. Or the rats. The rats will eat them. Okay, so I'm explaining because God has given me an opportunity to build a little place of my own. I've been staying with a grandmother for 2.5 years, and she's lovely, and I love her. I just need a little space. So on the right, you see the two double doors. That is the wall to Pastor's house, okay? And so now my house is built attached to his house, and there's not two doors. There's one. And then the open door is actually now my bedroom. So can you continue, please? So see, there they are working on it. It's really interesting how we build things there. It's not, you know, necessarily measured. But, you know, I just have to have faith in the Lord. And so the other doors, the first door is the office for the children's school. And then the second door is storage for the church. And then the next door is one of the pastor's sons. He's 15. He sleeps in that room. Next, please. So there they are making the garage. Very fun. Next, please. Windows came that day. Yay, that was like a big thing. So that, you see how much work they've done to change it from what it was. Next, please. That's the garage. Very solid door, so no more cars getting stolen. But God allowed that because the car he gave me was much stronger. So I totally see him in that. Next, please. Mm-hmm. So beyond, you can see the white building is the school where the kids go to school. And then so my house kind of goes in the middle of that building in the middle there with the blue. And then pastor's house is behind it. So, like, I have a nice little cottage, but I'm squeezed in security, which is nice. That's nice because there's safety there. All right, next, please. So there you can have a better idea. So pastor's house is purple. My space is green. And then the other rooms are in orange. So I have a nice space. For Uganda, it's like a really nice space. For one person, I don't need more than that. So I can praise, and I can pray, and I can, and I'm not squished in a little room, and there's not 500 other people around. I can just be in my own space and get with the Lord, which I really needed. So I'm really praising God for that opportunity. So next, please. Oh, this is the pastor that I'm under. I love this pastor. Click it, please. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's Pastor Samuel Dungu and his wife, Josephine. Josephine loves to dance. She loves cultural dance. She lights up. She just loves it. And Pastor is got a reputation all over Uganda. You can click the next one. All over Uganda for being very humble. He is known all over that country. He is called all over that country to go and perform weddings because he doesn't charge. He just has them pay transport, and that's it. And that's unheard of there. Everybody's about money. So he has been part of the church. He's 52. He's been part of the church since he was 17. It's very similar because I started when I was 18 and I'm 50. And so he was part of Anointed Church when it started. And then he was sent out to make their first plant church. And that's the one in Ritega. And he's still there after all this time. And he's great because if I'm struggling with something or I'm having a hard time or, you know, we all go through those tests, then I'll sit down and I'll like go, ah! And he just goes, I don't see the problem. Just do the work of God. I hear what you're saying, but just do the work of God. And, you know, in the beginning, I'd be like, oh, you know, right? And now I'm like, you know, I don't even tell him. Now I just go, I start talking about the work of God, and it just sets me free, right? So it's really great to be under a pastor that is so focused on God. And this man does not get paid by the church. Now, I understand what the Bible says. In Uganda, people want money. They all want money. So this church doesn't pay their pastors. They'll pay for the building. They'll help pay for, like, electricity, things like that, building more churches. And even though they do not give money to their pastors, they have 76 plant churches all over Uganda. So you know that the men and women that are serving, they love God. They're not there for the money. And that's a really big thing there. It's really important. So pastor, he gets up early. He goes to the garden, and it's 2 miles uphill. Remember those stories from your parents? I had to walk 2 miles uphill. Yeah, it really is. And he digs. And it's not like here, you know, it's a wood stick. And when the hoe wears out, then you just got to deal with it. And he has 3 acres that God gave him. And he grows coffee, cassava, which is a root vegetable, banana, oranges, mangoes, beans. I'm trying to think. Avocado. I'm trying to think of what else. I think those are the main crops for him. And that's how he supports his family. And he has lots of children. He has Aaron is the oldest. He's 28. Then there's Kathy and Peace. And their mama died when Aaron was 6. Then he remarried Josephine. And they have Joshua, Deborah, Dorca, Esther, and Sam. Yeah, it's a big family. And they're very happy, though. And they have to pay to go to school, these kids. But God always makes a way. This pastor has never been ashamed. The word says God will never give us a reason to be ashamed. And he has never, they've never gone without food. They've never gone without shelter. He has always provided everything that they need. And it's amazing. Like, it's inspiring. I feel that it's inspired me to stop being so feeling and get about busy about the work of God. So I appreciate how God has put people in my life to grow me and change me, to put parents who have to give you the rod and get you to the point now where you can have, where you're strong enough in the Lord that you can have someone that says, just do the work. You know, it's nice. When you look back, you go, wow, you know, you can really see God. So next, please. That's Jaja Sarah. That's the woman that has let me stay in her house for 2.5 years. And she's sweet and she loves me and she loves God. And yeah, that's a cheetah behind her, I believe, or a leopard or a lion. I think it's a leopard, maybe. We went to the zoo as like a gift for Christmas last year. We all went to the zoo. God provided some money, so we went together. She had never been to the zoo. So yeah, it was fun. And so she's so sweet, and I love her so much. And she prays for all of you. The whole church does. The church knows you. They know you all by name because I know you by name, and they love you. They consider you part of their family. And they're serious. That's not words. That's a very serious thing to them. So that's Jaja Sarah, and it's important for you to know her because she's been incredibly generous over the last couple of years to let me stay in her home. Next, please. Okay. surprise direction. When I went to Uganda, I was perfectly happy to go into a village and never come out again. That was my plan, but God had other plans. And he put me on TV to preach, and he put me on the radio to preach, which I don't know. Don't you think? I just thought that was like crazy. Like, really? So then he connected me to Parliament, which is the government of Uganda. They have three branches. They have Parliament, they have the President, they have State House. So for 3 years now, I've been working with Parliament. I go once a week. I pray with the members. We pray over the country. We study the word, and these people know the word. They know the word. So for me, honestly, it's a refreshing I get once a week. I need to be with my peers where we can just talk about the Bible, pray for the country. It's really awesome that God would give me such a beautiful thing. Every week I go and the officers at the gate are like, where's your anointing oil? You need to pray. And every week I pray over them and they know me and they look for the prayer. They look for that anointing. Like, where is that anointing? Did you bring your anointing oil? I need prayer. And it's like so awesome. Because it's not about me, it's about Jesus. For people to see Jesus, that these people, they know they need to go to Jesus. They're not really waiting for me. They're waiting for what they can get from God. So I just love that. Like, it's such a great life to live in. So every year they do the National Day of Prayer, like we do here in America, and I'm on the committee. So I do a lot of work. I help with so many things, and I'm so blessed to have the ability to do that. If you can go to the next slide. 1,500 people come, and they televise it. So that's Honorable Bahati, and that is me, and we share the same birthday. So we were having cake, and that's where we pray. Every Thursday when we get together, all the MPs, we come there and we pray together. Next, please. That's praying over the National Day of Prayer. Like, they're serious. It's not a game, this fellowship. I mean, there's 450 members of Parliament, but I pray with maybe 100 of them. And they're very serious about God, and they're all different denominations, and they don't let that bother them. They come in, and they do the work of God. They really do. And they're under way more pressure than me. They have constituencies and you know, always being accused of not using the money right, and there's so, you know, temptation. So it's really, like, awesome to be able to be a part of that, to pray with them and to listen to their needs and to do the work together. Next, please. Okay, so on the left, on the right is Honorable Jova in pink. I love that woman. She's tough, but I love her. And on the left is Honorable AOL, Honorable Betty. She is the leader of opposition. So there's two main parties, the NRM and the opposition. There's lots of other parties, but the main parties, NRM and opposition. And so Betty is the leader of opposition, and somehow, I don't know. Even with Jova, Jova's a very powerful woman. I don't know how we became friends. That's God. And we love each other. We love each other. We love each other. And that's God. Next, please. So that's a former Miss America. And let's see. Behind me in the green is Honorable Judith Babillier. And then behind her, kind of hiding in the young girl, that's my friend Rita. So that was just a fun, that's just kind of showing you kind of some of the things I experience in Parliament, some of the opportunities that God gives me. Next, please. Okay, so next to me is Brigadier General Felix Krayaji, and I love this man. I mean, if you heard him preach, he loves God. Ugh. People have been trying to kill him since he was born, and his testimony is that only God can take him home, so he's going to keep going. Nobody in the military wanted him to be a Brigadier General. He wasn't even on the list, and the last minute, President Museveni said, I want that man, because he doesn't believe in power or fame, or he just believes in Jesus. And it's so awesome to have those kind of testimonies that when they believe in Jesus, there are so many members of Parliament that their testimony is they came from the poorest part of the village and now they're in the government and they don't understand how they got there and their only explanation is Jesus. And that's amazing. So then next to him is Honorable Stella. No, that's not Stella. That's Josephine and then Stella and then Ocho. Boy, Ocho is like an American politician and I'm just going to leave that there. He loves stirring up trouble. Next, please. Okay, so this is State House. Well, this is one of the offices for State House, and that is Faith Kitana. And on the other side, the young man, that is Joseph. And what happened, no, I'm sorry, Edward. What happened was I found Edward on the side of the road, and he was in a bad accident. And nobody will help because they're afraid that you'll get accused of hurting someone and go to jail and whatever. So I stopped. And I said, get that man in my car. Like, they thought I was crazy. They call us white people Mzungus. I'm sure they thought I was a crazy Mzungu. And we put him in the car, and and Aaron's driving, and Kathy and Joshua, the pastor's kids, are with me. And Kathy's in her 20s, Joshua's 15, and we're praying over this guy, and he's seriously hurt. So it takes us 2 hours to get to the hospital because there's traffic jam everywhere. And he is very badly hurt. Then we get to the hospital, and they don't want to help him because everything is about money until they see the Mzungu. And then they're like, oh, Mzungu, how can I help you? And so sometimes that really comes in handy. When you want to buy something, it's not a good thing because, you know, they want to charge you more. But in this case, so he worked. Turns out he worked for State House. He had a brain injury. He had to get pins in both of his legs. His wrist was broken. He had to get surgery because he had internal bleeding. Can you imagine all these injuries? And it took us 2 hours to get to the hospital. And we're praying. We're praying in tongues, and we're taking authority. And, you know, God has a plan for this man's life because today he doesn't even have a limp. See, that's God. And so the things that are going on personally in my life is that as I live the word, as I get sanctified in the word, and I move in the word, then God says, okay, go left, go right, pick up my son, take him to the hospital. And what happened out of that is a connection with State House. So now I have a connection, a friend, more than one, in one branch of the government, State House, in another branch of the government, a parliament, and then... And this is not me. I've done no manipulating. I read the word and I stay low as I can get, as low as I can go. I want people not to say, there's the Mzungu, there's Lenora. I want them to say, there's Jesus. I see Jesus. I see hope. So then what happened was at the National Day of Prayer this year, and I didn't advertise, I didn't tell because I didn't want to. I met the president and the first lady. And I knelt down, because that's culture, and I shook their hand, and then the first lady has decided she wants to meet with me. So now the Lord has put me in Parliament, State House, and with the president. And I went there to be in a village. I went there to be in a village, and this is where he put me. Not because I'm anything. Just because I believe in being sanctified by the word of God. I believe that it's the righteousness of Jesus that gives me life. And I try very hard to live it. And I'm going to give you scriptures. I because I'm a very big believer in scriptures. Don't you tell me the Bible says and not give me a scripture reference, because I won't believe you. I don't care how good it sounds. I want my scripture. And I know that when we search ourselves and we go, Lord, does my life line up with this word? Then it gives him the opportunity to say, honey, you need to make a course correction. And then he sanctifies us. It's just an amazing life. I mean, it's just amazing to live like that. And you don't have to live in Africa to live like that. You can live everywhere. We sang a song that the face of Jesus is everywhere. He is. That the word of God is everywhere, all around the world. And we live here in America, and we're like, yes, it is. But then you go. When you go to other places like Belize, when you go to other places like vacation to see your family in Michigan or Oklahoma or something like that, then you get a broader spectrum, and you go, oh, my God, the face of Jesus is here in Oklahoma. Oh my God, the face of Jesus is in Georgia, right? And it just opens up your understanding, and you start getting out of the flesh and you start staying in the spirit. And you're like, wait a minute. When it says the face of Jesus is all around the world, it's right here in my house. Could we forget that? Don't we? We forget. The face of Jesus is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And it's not that God said, no, Lenore, you have to go to Africa in order to see my face. He didn't do that. He said, you got to believe in my son. You got to have the Holy Spirit. And you got to open my word. Then you're going to see my face. Right here, where you are. Right here in this place. Right here if you're watching. Right here if you're in a hospital bed. It doesn't matter. His face really is everywhere. And I see it in how he's moving. But you have those same things in your life here. You do. Because all of us have a position to stand in. We have to keep rank. Is that not so? And when we keep rank, when we stand in our position, then we have our own parliament experience, because not all of us can be in the parliament in Africa. We have to be here. We have to talk to the mailman. We have to be here. We have to talk to the person in the grocery store. We have to talk to the homeless person. We have to talk to our family that drives us crazy. Amina, I'm sorry, amen. So you see, we have that sanctification here. You get to see this really awesome thing. You get to see the face of God moving there, but he's moving here just as much. There's no difference. There's no difference. He's God everywhere you go. He's God. Next, please. I was on the radio. Next, please. All right, baptisms. I have to tell you, that was the dirtiest water, and I got so sick afterwards, but it was worth it. So baptisms, crusades, and overnight. Crusades is where we go to different villages and we share the gospel. Overnights, we meet at 9 o'clock at night. We sing, we dance, we pray, we hear the word, we sing, we dance, we pray some more, we hear the word, and we leave like at 5 in the morning. So next, please. Baptism. So these are different places where people got baptized, and in big numbers, by the way. They learn the baptism teaching, and then they say, oh my gosh, I didn't get baptized for the right reason, and they go and they fix it. It's really beautiful, actually. That's Sam. I'm so excited. Next, please. That's Sam. After he got baptized, he stood on the shore singing and clapping for everybody else. And I love that boy. He's pastor's youngest son, and somehow, I don't know, I've just kind of adopted him. Big crusade, but I don't usually do the big ones. I just feel more led for the smaller, like getting to know you kind of things. That's everybody squished in the car to go get baptized. This is why I need a van, because I use it to go, and people get baptized, and we go do crusades, so we need it. Next, please. That's pastor in Mugongo, and he's anointing all those people to be leaders at that church. And Mugongo, everything is built on rocks. Like, there's no floors, and there's, I mean, and it's black rock. I don't know why anybody would live there, but they do. And so we have a branch there, and pastor and I both take turns going there and preaching and teaching. And it was amazing to pray and lay hands on and anoint all those leaders. It was really beautiful. Next, please. All right, that's Deborah. She's one of the pastor's daughters. And man, can she dance. The cultural dance is very important to them. And then that's Esther in the bottom corner. It's very important to them. It's part of their culture. But, you know, they dress now. Like, they wear clothes and they play Christian music when they do it. And they do it to the Lord now. It's not fleshy. It's something they do because they love God. Next, please. All right, so we learned in Bible school how to share the gospel without fear. I utilized that in the Bible school. So we went out and we did it, and that girl got saved. She was a Muslim. She got saved. And there'll be more testimonies about that, but, you know, it was just really exciting because she had to go against her aunt in order to do it. Like, it's really serious there. It's very serious. Okay, next. That is a crusade in Imbarara. Okay. Building houses, medical needs. Next, please. Yes, that's me carrying a very, very heavy log. Very heavy. And that's me helping get the mud together to build a house. Because we build it with mud and logs and sticks. Next, please. So this girl's house had fallen down, and God really blessed her and sent some donations, and we were able to build her a house with brick. She has like 6 kids, so they're all going to live in that one room, but it's so much better than a mud house because when it rains, they fall down. So we even put a roof and doors and windows and everything. So it was really a blessing from God. Next. So we moved to the church. The church was really getting old. It was made out of wood and tin. You can see it's really old. So we took it off the foundation. We moved it down to the field because we want to build a permanent structure. So that's a picture of us. Oh, everybody works together. We work together. We help each other. You don't have to be saved. If your house falls down, we will help you. If you don't have a mattress, we'll help you get one. If you're missing food, we'll help you. And I like that. That's because we do that here. So it's so nice to see something that we do here in America that they do it there. It's just nice. Next, please. Okay, so most of the kids have no shoes. Next, please. But there was a woman in Zana, which is near Kampala, and she donated 70 pairs of different size shoes for the kids. And so they were so excited. I didn't even have to tell anybody. I gave one kid a pair of shoes, and in 10 minutes, I had like 200 kids outside my door. I just gave them till they were gone, you know, whatever fit, and they're okay. They understand. So next, please. Giving out clothes in, where was that? That was in Dubani. That's very far. We were giving out clothes, and they didn't have anything. It was really beautiful that the people in Ritega donated clothes, and then we took it all the way to Dubani. It's like 5 hours, and we gave the people their clothes. They were so excited, and they were so blessed. Next, please. that man didn't have a mattress, and he was doing work for me so that he could earn the mattress, because I don't believe in just giving out handouts. I have them earn it, work in my garden or with my pigs or building the house. And then he mentioned that he was trying, that he wanted me to keep his money so he could get a mattress. And instead, I just went and bought the mattress and paid him. And he was very happy. He's not saved. So you see, he saw the hope of Jesus in that, because he doesn't have salvation. Next, please. Giving away clothes. That little boy was so happy. Next, please. That's one of the hospitals. Yeah, I don't want to be sick in Africa, but God has grace and mercy, so, because the hospitals are a little scary compared to what we're used to, no computers and whatever, but they just built a clinic not far from me that is more modern, it's European, and so I trust it more, and I'll go there. It's more expensive, but I know the needles are clean, you know, when I had typhoid and malaria together, which you don't even know how serious that is, that's where I was. And they took great care of me. God took care of me. Everything was fine. No problem. But that kind of hospital, no. That is not for me. Next, please. Okay, so this is Bosco. He got hit by a Boda. Yeah, he got hurt really bad, but now he's fine. Like, he has just a little scar. He's running around. He's happy. And I helped with those medical. We helped with those medical needs. Next, please. Okay, this woman, she came to this huge crusade, and they had to carry her. When we prayed for her, she could walk. And she walked away from that crusade. She came in carried, like Lazarus, and she walked away. And that was her faith that set her free. Next, please. That's Trevor. I love Trevor. He lost his eye. You see that eye? It had a tumor in it. So some other people stepped in to help. God makes provision in lots of ways. It's not only through me. It's through lots of people. And we took him to the hospital, and they had to remove it because he had a tumor. If he kept it, the tumor could have gone into his brain. Better to be alive and miss an eye. So now he's like my little twin, you know. Like, we walk around, we hang out together because I can relate to what he's adjusting to. So, and he's happy. His mom was happy. She was so grateful. His family was so grateful. They weren't sad that the eye was missing. They were happy that God provided something for them to keep their child alive. Next, please. That's Mose. And actually, for those of you who watch Facebook, that's Sam in the background, which I didn't know. That's a picture of Mose from when I visited. And that kid in the back, I'm like, why won't he get out of the picture? And now this kid spends all his time with me. So it's kind of funny. Mose also had tumor all on his face and his lip. And Stefan, my son, and I, we had a garage sale. We sent money, and he was able to get what he needs. And even today, he goes to the pharmacy in the village and gets his medicine, and then the pharmacist tells me, and then I pay. It's not very much. It's like 5,000 shillings. That's like $3 to give him a month's worth of medicine to keep that in check. So it's good. Next. That's the man, Edward, that we found at the side of the road. Like, he was really bad. He was really, can you imagine being that hurt here in America and having no ambulance? Having to ride in a car or on a boat, on a motorcycle to go to the hospital. And that's God. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. He has a plan for him. When we went to go visit him, we prayed Isaiah 52 over him. And it helped him because they couldn't figure out what was going on with his brain. And then the next day, all that was cleared up. And so that's the power of the word of God. That's where the power is, in the word of God. Next, please. Okay, so this little girl, I say little girl, was so hated by her parents that they burned her fingers off. They didn't cut them off. They burned them off. You can see she has damage in her face. And she was beat so bad that she's mentally incapacitated now. And they rescued her off the street. She's in Imbarara. She was wandering around the streets, and the ministry said, you know what, let us pick her up and her sister, which her sister is okay. And I love her. She's so loving. She just wants to hug you. She loves to be in church. But, you know, I just think that when we run across people like that, especially to be so tormented and so tortured, but to really, even in her mental state, love God, I think it's an inspiration that we should love God, you know, so freely after everything, right? Next, please. That's the school that the kids go to school. They don't have a floor. It's dirt. So they get jiggers. Jiggers is like a bacteria. It's kind of like a worm. and they get in their feet because of the dust. And so you just get them out with like a pen, but it's annoying. I've had them. It's not fun. It's very itchy. You're like, oh, you know, as soon as you start that itch, you're like, oh, I got a jigger. And you have to go get somebody to get it out for you. And so those are all the books that they use. They have to wear a uniform. Next, please. So we do classes. I'm very blessed. They let me teach in the school. Every morning I teach chapel from 8 to 8:30. So we sing praise and we learn the word of God. The kids know the word. I love this. Our kids know the word. These kids know the word. It's so great. And then in the afternoon, twice a week, I do crafts. Like we did clay one day. Next, please. I taught sewing. These are all the kids together because it's kindergarten on up to fifth grade, I'd say. Next, please. They're very happy kids, as you can see. As you can see. Next, please. That's the older kids learning how to sew. That was fun. That was really fun, actually. We're working on pillows now, so we had to put it off until February, but we're making pillows. Next, please. Bible school. All right, Bible school is the whole reason that I'm there, Bible school. And these are graduates. This is only half the graduating class from Hoima. Next, please. As you can see, this is them studying. They take it very seriously. They rent graduation robes. It's a big deal to them. Because a lot of the people in class they didn't graduate high school. They don't have a diploma of any kind. Half of them can't even read. But you sit through the class and you graduate because you understand the word of God. You've graduated spiritually, so you get to graduate physically, and you don't even understand how big this is. It is so big. And this new believers class, they get a certificate. And then we go on to the next level of teaching, a deeper level, and they get diplomas. So it's like really, like the first level is their foundation, and it like gets their taste wet for more word. And it's amazing. People are transformed. And I'm telling you, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the word. The most powerful thing you could ever say to anybody is the word. Just give them your Bible. Say, read this out loud. What do you think? What does it say to you? And the word convicts them. The word changes them. It's amazing. I just get to go along for the ride. So I'm the blessed one. Seriously. So next, please. See, they're so excited. They're so excited. Next, please. That's in Ritega. That's a higher level because they've moved on. Ritega is this little village, and they have the most graduates, and they're the furthest along. And so now the main branch church, they're like, you got to come here. We can't let Ritega be in front of us. And so it's kind of cute, you know, that little competitive thing. Next, please. Okay, so we're very interactive in school. If I see that you're dozing, then the Holy Spirit will say, okay, have them do this, have them do that, to keep them, because it's hot, you know, you're tired. And they don't learn like Americans learn. They want all of it now. So they'll sacrifice a week's worth of fishing so that they can get 12 classes in 6 days. And each class is 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours. Where we can really get deep in the word. And it changes lives. It's transforming people. It's amazing. And when you're done with the class, with like the end, and they've graduated, they're all saying, when's the next one? When's the next one? And for us, in our the way the Holy Spirit has done it, we're doing 40 classes in the second level. And that's like a huge sacrifice. And you know what? They do it. They said, you know what? Let's do it in 2 weeks. And we do it in 2 weeks. We learn 4 classes a day. And they want it. And they're changed. And they're transformed. And it's. I can't explain it to you. All I can say, it's the Holy Spirit. Because I certainly can't do it. I certainly don't have the ability. Certainly I do not. And yet, they're transformed. I mean, it's amazing. All right, next, please. Okay, more Bible school. Next, please. I just kind of wanted you to see that it's all over the nation. Next, please. So they're learning how to lay hands on because they don't do that. It scares them, and now they're doing it, and they're finding the power. So we do a lot of Holy Ghost prayer lines. And they're really, at first, they're all like, I don't know about this. But by the end, they're all like, oh, you know, I felt the Holy Spirit. I saw the Holy Spirit. I'm like, yeah, you did. Next, please. Bible school. See, they're very serious. Next, please. Bible school. Bible school. Bible school. Bible school. Bible school. All right, this woman, she's Muslim, and we learned how to share the gospel. We went out, and she got saved. I wasn't with the team There were four pastors, and she got saved. She came. She got water baptized. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. This was in Imbarara. It's very far from me. It's like 5 hours. And then I got a call a week later that her husband killed her because she got saved. Now, I keep this picture, and I talk about her because, you see, we don't have time. I mean, he was a violent man. He could have killed her for anything, right? We don't have time. We have to live what the Bible says. We must be sanctified. We must go forward. And no matter if we think the person's going to like it or not, because it's their life. She's sitting with Jesus today. If we hadn't talked to her, where would she be? We cannot be afraid of that. We have to stop being afraid. Next, please. And that's Sam. You don't even understand. I love this boy. He came to me and said, I need to be saved. And he explained to me what it was. And I said, okay, let's pray. Then he's with me. He does a lot of ministry with me. His father has said, please take him with you. And he said, I have to get water baptized. I'm like, don't you want to wait for your dad to do that? He's like, nope, I need it right now. And we get in the water, you know, ask the questions. I say, okay, I baptize you. It's me and a pastor in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy. And he went under the water and came up. He's like, I'm baptized. So he inspires me, gives Jesus all the credit. And, you know, it's really amazing to be able to work with this little boy. He reads the Bible with me, even though he can't read. So that's how he's learning to read, as he works on the Bible with me. And it's beautiful. That's the last slide, which is good because I'm limited now on my time. And the word is more important. Oh, that's great and everything, but I really wanted you to have the word. So can we please go back to 1 Peter 13? I mean, yeah, is that right? Yeah, for 1 Peter 3, excuse me. 1 Peter 3. And then I want to read 13 to 15. 1 Peter 3, verse 13 to 15. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid for their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always. Give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear. Now, on that verse 14, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and do not be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Listen, my flesh suffers every time I say, Lord, show me sin. That is my biggest time of trouble. I don't know about you, but I am most troubled when I see sin in my life. That is when I am most troubled. And here it says, hey, you know, let that flesh suffer for righteousness' sake. Absolutely. But don't be troubled that you messed up. Listen, I messed up a lot. I messed up a lot in the beginning when I was in Uganda. I made so many mistakes. And it says, look, don't be troubled by that, because you need to come to me because I'm righteous. And you're suffering for righteousness' sake. If you suffer and you repent for that sin, then you get righteousness. I like that. I used to be afraid to sin. I used to be so afraid. I would cry for weeks. Oh, I messed up, I messed up, I messed up. But what he's really showing me about sanctification is that he cleans us up and he makes us pure. And honestly, if my flesh isn't suffering, I can't get righteousness, because my flesh is the opposite of righteousness. It's the opposite. So look over in, I have too many scriptures, and that's a common problem. Romans 3:10, please. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, this scripture says back in 1 Peter that when we suffer for righteousness' sake, but this says there's no one righteous. So how do we get our righteousness? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says, But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So how do we get our righteousness? Well, we have to have Jesus. Yes? Amen? So here we've seen a scripture that says that if we suffer for righteousness' sake, and we found out there's nobody righteous, that the only way we can have righteousness is if we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. But not only that, but we receive wisdom, and we receive salvation. So it's wonderful that we're focused right now on being pure and clean, which is sanctification, but also that we get so much more with it. It's not just that he cleans us and says, okay, you're done. But he cleans us and then he fills our hands with things, with wisdom, with salvation. He fills our minds with the word of God. He doesn't just clean us up and leave us blank and say, okay, go. He fills us up when we allow him. As you read the word of God, then it continues to clean you. And then that way you're not hanging on to sin again. You've been cleaned of that. And instead of picking it up, you're picking up the word of God. Now you're picking up wisdom. Now you're picking up salvation. And it makes a difference in how you walk. This is how you walk sanctified. Because the word of God says, repent, 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 repent. And when you live that life of repentance, then Jesus really does become manifest in your body. If you look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. See, I love this. The song we sang earlier, we were talking about the words of this song, what they should be. And what we sing is that we see Jesus. And that's kind of what the scripture is saying. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10 and 11. Always bearing about in the body and dying. I like that. Let me say that again. Dying. See, this is where you're supposed to be going. Amen. But this is where everybody gets real quiet. You talk about that we need to die, it's not even daily, like all the time, and everybody's like crickets, like nobody's going hallelujah, but we should, because that's where we get our righteousness, that's where we get our hope. Let's see, dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. See, you should not be seeing Lenora right now. You should be seeing Jesus Christ. You should be seeing the hope of glory. You should be seeing the Holy Spirit. That should be our goal. That should be our goal, all of us, that we want to live a sanctified life, that Jesus really is manifest through our body, so that when we're walking out there, we're not afraid of what people are going to think. We're not afraid of what they're going to say, because they need Jesus so desperately, just like we did. And that is the life that we're supposed to live. This is scripture. This is life. This is manna. This is what we need. For we which live are always delivered unto death. Are you looking at this? So many times we say, oh, why am I going through this? It's so terrible. What did I do to deserve this? How did I miss it? Excuse me. Let us read the word. Let us look at that again. For we which live are always delivered unto death. For Jesus' sake, not for our sake. Not so we can go to heaven, not so we can please God, but for the sake of Jesus, because he did everything for us, everything. And because there's nobody righteous, we're righteous because we have Jesus in us. It's his righteousness. He owns us. We don't own him. So we always have to die. We always have to die. So we need to change our perception. And we say, wait a minute, wait a minute. The Bible says that we're always dying, that if we suffer for the sake of righteousness, then we get happiness. See, now, when you think about that from the world's perspective, it makes no sense. Like, you could go say that to somebody who is not saved, and they're like, you are 10 tons of crazy. But when you look at it from the perspective of God and everything that Jesus did, it makes all sense. It makes all sense. Because we're not supposed to base what we understand in the Word on our worldly understanding. We're supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. He's the teacher. The Holy Spirit to bring wisdom. He's the one who does that. The Holy Spirit to guide us. And, you know, there's a reason he's our comforter. It's because we're always supposed to be dying. If we're always dying, God has sent a comforter be right here to comfort us through the dying process for the sake of Jesus, so that people see Jesus, so that the family gets bigger, because that's our job. That is the reason that we live. That is the reason we have breath. It's the reason we have our being. And if we change our focus, if we change the things that we want to do, if we change thinking and feeling into following the Spirit, you're going to have more joy. We are going to have more joy. But when we stay in that thinking and we stay in that feeling, then we got the mess. We got the mess. And the last thing we really want to do is go to the Word, because then our spirit's in control. So why would we want to do that, right? So I'm going to give you one last scripture. I had many more, but this is the word the Holy Spirit has for you. John 17:17 is the scripture I would like you to please look at. Okay, John 17:17. John 17:17. This is Jesus talking to God the Father, and he's saying, Lord, sanctify them. Father, sanctify them through your word, through your truth, because your word is truth. If you want to live that sanctified life, Jesus asked his Father to give it to you. It's there. It's available to you. At any time, you can have that. You can be clean. You can walk in the kind of freedom that we've been talking about, but you must love God. You must believe in Jesus. You must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you must eat the word more than you eat food. And if you do that, truly, you will be transformed. You will be changed. And Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. And if as if that weren't enough, he gives us examples here on earth. And you can just look at me. Because many people in this room knew me when I was 18 years old. And they would stand here today and tell you that they never imagined in a million years that I would be standing here preaching the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit and working in Africa. But it's the word of God. It's because of loving God and believing in Jesus and following the leading of the Holy Spirit that there's transformation, that I'm sanctified. Because every day I say, Lord, show me what's not clean. Let me suffer for the cause of Christ because I want to be clean. I want to be clean. I just want to love you. I just want to love you. And when you just want to love him, you know what happens? Miracles. And the biggest miracle of all, you're saved. I mean, everybody's looking for these little miracles. I need a job. I need healing. I need to be free of pain. But let me tell you something. There's no way that it is medically possible for the blood of a 2,000-year-old man who's still alive, by the way, to be flowing through your veins. That's the miracle. I said that a little fast. I hope you caught it. But our Jesus is alive. He's over 2,000 years old. And his blood is in your veins. According to the world, that's not possible. So your salvation, that's the miracle right there. Everything else is blessing. That's the miracle. So if you have Jesus, well, praise the Lord, because I'm looking at miracles all in front of me. And if you don't, then don't leave without getting your miracle, because it's here right now. So I'd like to pray, if that's okay with you. I'm very excited about the word of God. I'm very passionate. I love it. This is what's happening in Uganda. The word you heard, that's the same thing the Holy Spirit is doing. The same thing he's doing here, he's doing there. Because we're one body, joined together, fit together. We're one body. It doesn't matter where we are. If we're in the gutter and homeless, if we're in a church, if we're in another part of the world, we're one body. So everything he's doing here in the word, he's doing there. And it's beautiful that he gave us a gift that we could connect together here and the other side of the world. How great is that? Then we're all learning the same stuff. I love that. God is so big. The Holy Spirit is big. Jesus is big, bigger than everything. So we're going to stand up, please. Because I like to pray standing up because it shows the Father that I am focused on him. And I want to lift up the Lord today. I want to lift up the word today. And if you are convicted, if you're convicted of this word, if you're saying, you know what, I haven't been living like that, then just come up and pray. It doesn't really matter what anybody sees or who cares. The altar is here so that we can always be sanctified. That's why it's here. So please, if you felt convicted, don't just sit there in it because that's not what it's for. Conviction is designed so that you go closer to God. Run to the Father, because he's there. He's the one who cleans you up. So we're going to go ahead and pray now. Father, I thank you, because you're so big. And it really is true. The word is the word is the word, no matter where we are. And we love Jesus, and we love the Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit He's such a great teacher. He's such an awesome teacher. He knows the words to say to touch our hearts, to cause us to live by the Spirit, to die a little more all the time so the righteousness of Jesus can show. And I thank you, Father, that you love us so much, that you sent your Son to die for us. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I have that miracle. And so I pray, Lord, that if anyone in here has been convicted by the word, that they really will. They don't even have to come up. If you want to do it at your seat, it's okay. Really, Lord, I pray that if anybody's heart was touched, that they just repent right now. It just takes a moment. Change of mind, change of action. Change of mind is they've seen that they weren't living for you, sanctified like they need to. The change of action is they repent and they stop. They replace that thinking with the word of God. So if there's anybody who's been struggling with the Bible, struggling with reading it, struggling with being bored, I pray, Lord Jesus, that that thinking will get replaced, that it will get replaced with your love. Because when it gets replaced with your love, then the word is alive. Then more than any other word you could hear, more than any other person, more than any TV show. And I just praise you because I know you're bigger than all that. So I thank you so much. I thank you so much for the work that you're doing in your body, that we might all show the manifestation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I just praise you for all the work that you're doing. I praise you for the power that is going forth in your people, that we can hold rank, we can continue to move forward. Continue to move forward, your army, your children, your people. We recognize that you love us, that you've sacrificed everything for us, and we thank you so much for all that you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, before you sit down, how we end in Uganda is we say the grace, which is a scripture, and what we say is, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. And then everybody says, Amina.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody enjoy that? Amen. Isn't this wonderful what God's doing?